Welcome. You are listening to Central Synagogue's podcast, featuring sermons, lectures, and conversations from Manhattan's historic Central Synagogue. I'm Rabbi Angela Buchdahl. Each week, we invite you to listen to messages of strength and hope given by our clergy on Shabbat or Jewish holidays. You can also listen to audio recordings of other programs and lectures given at Central by subscribing to this podcast on the platform of your choice. If you'd like to watch our live stream services or learn more about our congregation, I invite you to visit us at centralsynagogue.org. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon. And raise me up to a world of living, oh, safe from the storm,
in the shelter of your shadow. Shana Tova, everyone. It's so very good to see you, to be back here, to return to this sanctuary with you, to celebrate this holiday with you. What an incredible blessing to be back together. One day last summer, I was walking my dog, listening to my audiobook, when I learned I had been wrong about something my entire life. Worse yet, I had spread the error of my ways to scores of middle schoolers back when I was a teacher. What, you ask, was I wrong about? Multiple choice tests. Now, when taking a multiple choice test, what are you supposed to do if you don't know one of the answers? Guess, right. I had always been a believer in the go with your gut approach. Don't waste time second guessing. Don't go back and change your answer. Close your book and be done. And I was wrong. I learned I was wrong from a recent book by organizational psychologist Adam Grant entitled Think Again. And in case you're wondering, yes, this is the kind of book that I listen to while I am walking my dog. In the book, Grant reveals that 33 studies have found that when test takers go back and change their responses, the majority of the time, they switch from an incorrect answer to the correct one. Now, I am not sharing this story to rekindle in us the stress of taking the SATs. I'm sharing it because of a fascinating bit of etymology that is especially relevant to us tonight. Because it just so happens that the Hebrew word for answer is teshuva. Yes, as in the teshuva, the repentance of this season. And these words aren't just homonyms like tree bark and the dog barked. The Hebrew root at the heart of these two teshuvas is shin vav bet, shuv, which means to return, as in, when we repent, we return to the right path. Or, she returned to that tricky question on the test, thought about it again, and returned a different answer. On this era of Rosh Hashanah, as we welcome 5783, I submit to you that now is a good time to heed the wisdom implicit in our people's ancient tongue. For this season of Teshuvah calls upon us not just to return and repent for our sins, but also to return and rethink the answers in our lives we've held most dear. It asks us to consider not just those individuals we've wronged, but also those times we've been wrong. And as it turns out, today, Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of the world, is an especially appropriate time for this kind of teshuvah. Because our tradition teaches us that this kind of teshuvah was baked into the clay of creation itself. A midrash tells us that before creating the world, God traced its foundations only to discover that the world would not stand. Creation kept collapsing and collapsing and collapsing. God had missed something critical, something essential. What was that missing ingredient? The answer, the midrash tells us, was teshuvah. Think about that for a moment. We are familiar with the aphorism, to err is human, to forgive divine. But our tradition teaches that just like us, the divine also errs. When God first attempted to create the world, God made a mistake because God failed to account for the very idea of mistakes. This midrash reminds me of a beautiful passage from Dara Horn's novel, The World to Come. Everybody likes to pave their roads with good intentions, but those roads never seem to get me anywhere. So I built this one out of stupid mistakes instead. Mistakes, it turns out, are a very durable building material. Most people just throw them away as soon as possible and never realize that you can learn from them. But if you do, they can actually hold you up pretty well. We make a lot of mistakes. We're wrong with spectacular regularity. We're wrong about multiple choice tests. We're wrong about the weather. We're wrong, with apologies to Rabbi Salth, about the odds of the Mets winning the World Series. As my wife Jade loves to remind me, I was wrong about pasta bowls. I never thought we'd use them, and it turns out they are utterly indispensable. Sometimes we're wrong about bigger things, very deep and often painful things. Our most cherished beliefs, the people we love, the very purpose of our lives. In her book, Being Wrong, journalist Catherine Schultz writes, 1,200 years before Descartes penned his famous, "I think, therefore I am," the philosopher and theologian Augustine wrote, "Fallor ergo sum," I err, therefore I am. According to Augustine, the capacity to get things wrong is not only part of being alive, but in some sense, proof of it. Why is that? Our tradition tells us because that's the way God made us. If, as the Midrash teaches, God made a mistake when creating the world, then all the more so should we, those imperfect beings created in the divine image, expect to make mistakes as we live in it. Because, Schultz writes, unlike God, we don't really know what's going on out there. And unlike all the other animals, we are obsessed with trying to figure it out. This obsession is the source of all of our productivity and creativity. And it is also the source of our constant wrongness, the two sides of God's creative coin. As elemental as this idea is to being human, it is even more fundamental to being Jewish. In fact, It is the very basis of our people's name. In Hebrew, the name of our namesake ancestor Judah is Yehuda, which comes from the root Yud Dalet He, which we usually translate as gratitude. For example, it is the root of the Hebrew word modeh, as in modeh ani lefanecha, I am grateful before you, which are traditionally the first words we Jews say when we wake up in the morning. However, gratitude isn't the only definition of the root Yud Dalet He. It also carries another rather interesting meaning: to admit a mistake. In fact, in the Talmud, when one rabbi concedes a point to another, the Hebrew word we find is modeh, as in Rabbi Akiva modeh. Rabbi Akiva concedes that his colleague is correct, which offers us a different way to understand the words that we, the descendants of Judah, of Yehuda, offer to God every morning with our first waking breath. Modeh ani lefanecha. I am wrong before you. Fallor ergo sum. I err, therefore I am. Our tradition invites us to speak the hardest words any of us ever have to say first thing every day: I am wrong. What makes this simple three-syllable sentence the most difficult one to utter in the English language? There are, of course, myriad reasons, but this evening I would point to three. The first is our craving for the certainty that comes with being right. This is the law of cognitive inertia. Once we've set our mental course, we aren't keen to change direction. And being wrong, Catherine Schultz likens this phenomenon to the frequent plight of Wile E. Coyote. In the classic cartoons, as Mr. Coyote chases after the Roadrunner, he continues running off the edge of a cliff. Inertia keeps him going until he looks down. And then, when he realizes that there's nothing but air beneath his feet, he falls. This is what happens when we learn that we're wrong. The solid ground of certainty disappears, and we can find ourselves in a terrifying freefall. Second, there's our belief in the righteousness of being right. The very words of that sentence illustrate my point. We conflate rightness with righteousness. We believe that to be wrong is not just an error in knowledge, but a failure of character. How can I be a good person if I make so many mistakes? Third, there's the threat to our identity that comes with being wrong. Adam Grant writes that when we admit that we're wrong, it can feel as if we're losing a part of ourselves. What does it say about me if I pursued the wrong profession? Now that I've changed my views, how should I view myself? Uncertainty, moral stain, losing our essential identity, these are among our greatest existential fears. And when we realize that we're wrong, they routinely rise up and bring us down. What can we do in the face of such fears? How can we overcome the paralysis of this dread? Or, put Jewishly, is there a way for us to say modeh ani every morning, holding both of its meanings to be true? I am wrong, and I am grateful. In the Talmud, we learn that there was once a rabbinic debate so contentious that God decided to intervene. On the one side was Rabbi Eliezer, and on the other, Rabbi Yehoshua. And God sided with Rabbi Eliezer. In support of Rabbi Eliezer's position, first God caused a tree to leap 100 cubits. Then God caused a stream to flow backwards. And finally, God shook the walls of the house of study. But none of these miracles impressed the other rabbis. And so finally, God opened the heavens and spoke unmitigated. God said, Rabbi Eliezer is right. And Rabbi Yehoshua shouted back, the Torah is not in heaven. God, you don't get a say in this. And God retreated, and Rabbi Eliezer was overruled. Years later, Elijah the prophet was asked how God reacted to Rabbi Yehoshua's rebuttal. Elijah replied, God said, my children have defeated me. And then God smiled. Imagine that smile. See it clearly, the light of God's shining face. And consider this. We too can face our fallibility with a smile. Because lest we object, well, you're talking about God. I'm only human. Remember that we were created in God's image. I'm not saying that it's easy. Smiling famously uses more muscles than scowling. But when we smile at our mistakes, we can see God's face in the mirror, and we remember that God formed us from the dust of the earth with a fundamental goodness, a goodness that transcends the mundane categories of right and wrong. We are so much more than our mistakes. In Think Again, Adam Grant shares a story about an encounter he had with Israeli psychologist Daniel Kahneman. Suffice it to say, Kahneman has been one of the rightest people in history. His work in behavioral economics won him a Nobel Prize and has influenced everything from tax policy to Major League Baseball. Yet after hearing Grant present his research at a conference, Kahneman approached him with a big grin and said, that was wonderful. I was wrong. Later, Grant sat down with Kahneman and asked him about his joy of being wrong. Kahneman's eyes twinkled as if he was having fun. He said that in his 85 years, no one had pointed that out before, but yes, he genuinely enjoys discovering that he was wrong because it means he is now less wrong than before. Less wrong than before. Now that's a happy way of putting it. And it captures something deeply true about being wrong. I'll be the first to admit, being right tastes great, but being wrong is ultimately more filling. Because it's how we learn, how we discover, how we grow. Sometimes it's hard to taste in that first bitter bite, but it's always baked in, just like teshuva is baked into the clay of creation. Let me tell you about a time I was happy to be wrong. I never thought I would be here on this bima, or on any bima for that matter. From my first day in rabbinical school, my classmates and everyone else who knew me back then, would tell you that I was on a single-minded path towards a career as a Hillel rabbi. Because it was my own vibrant experience at Hillel as a student that made me want to become a rabbi in the first place. Fun fact, the first member of the Buchdahl family I ever met was not our senior rabbi, but her oldest son, Gabriel, during his first year of college. I loved the electricity of academic life. I was so fulfilled in my work with college students, and the world of congregations felt so unfamiliar to me. How could I leave a career path I loved for a job I never thought I wanted? And here I am, at my fourth Rosh Hashanah with this congregation, smiling every day, not just because I've grown to love this work so much, but because I have grown so much, thanks to you. Modeh ani lefanecha. I am wrong before you, and I am so grateful. Yehuda Amichai wrote, "From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world." And what do we find when we dig up the world, when we welcome being wrong? We discover that when we embrace our mistakes with a smile, we unearth the most fertile soil in the garden of God's creation. There, just beneath the surface, is a new teshuva, a new answer, waiting to be found.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Central Synagogue's podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you're in the loop on future episodes. And please follow us on social media or watch our live stream at centralsynagogue.org, our Facebook page, or on national cable at the Jewish Broadcasting Service. Thanks again for joining us.